Welcome to this episode of Out of the Best Books, the podcast where we deep dive into classic literature and have conversations about what we've learned and discovered along the way. We love all things books and reading, and we want to share our love of the classics with you. We hope to inspire you to read along with us and join in the conversation. I'm Amity.
And I'm Laura. Let's get started. We are so excited today. This is our 1 year anniversary episode. I meant to look and see what date. I think it was like October 21st when it came out.
I think it was. And so this may be, well, let's see. Will it be off at all? No, it'll be off a little bit from our 1 year anniversary. But yeah, because I was like so nervous. I was like, okay, October 21st. It's like the release date. Sort of this huge, big, scary unknown. And now it's like, oh, okay, we're releasing another one, you know? It's like everything. The hardest part is just getting started. And then after that, you just go.
I mean, we'd been talking and planning and getting ready for this for so long and like trying to figure everything out. And do you think we started working on it? I'd say we started early in the summer, kind of.
Yeah, we started early in the summer. And then we actually recorded. It was August 19th, I believe. Yeah, I remember because it was like the Friday before I started my first job outside my home since I'd had kids. So it was sort of a big weekend. So we recorded and we worked for 2 months before we actually released anything. But you're right. I mean, before that, we'd been prepping and studying and learning before we even started recording. But
and it seemed so, every like technical stuff to me seemed so overwhelming. Mm-hmm. I'd watch YouTube videos and be like, oh, I can't do this. And now it just seems like it's easy.
Yeah,
that part. So
we still have more to learn. There's still stuff that we're trying to figure out and trying to make it better. But yeah, it's just wild when you think back on the past year and like all the ways, like how far we've come and all the ways that we've improved and all the things that we've learned. And it does make me go, okay, we can do more. We can take next steps and keep going.
We've done in the last year, we've done 13 books. We just counted them up. How many episodes? We're on 50. This is number 53.
Wow. I did not realize that.
Yeah.
That's awesome. I guess it makes sense.
Yeah. Well, and we're a little past a year. So 53, that makes sense. But yeah, David asked me the other day how many episodes and he was like, really? Yeah. We're on 53.
Well, yeah. Because do we take any weeks off? We took a couple weeks off in the summer, but I don't think there's been any weeks that we haven't released an episode, right?
Not this year.
Okay.
I think we'll probably, I mean, I don't know what you think, but we're going to take off the week of Thanksgiving this year. And then I think I bet you we'll take June off again. Okay. I think we'll need that, don't you think? We get like behind on, I mean, we get ahead and then we get like to where we're kind of, if we take a week off from recording or whatever, then we get behind. And so we need that month to like catch up. And like when we did take that month off, David was like, I thought you were going to take the month off. I'm like, well, we're not releasing new episodes, but now we're going to get caught up.
Yeah. We're just trying to record and record and record. And
yeah, we also had a guest for 6-7 episodes. So we had our friend Nan with us. Anything else you can think of we did this year?
We had our families on.
Yes.
And that was fun. We got their input on some of their favorite books. Yeah. Well, and then we also had one where we were with another podcaster. So we were on her show and then we also released an episode. Well, we released that episode on our podcast.
Yes, that was fun. I'd like to do more of that. Like,
I would too. I think that would be a blast. So.
I'll tell you some of our stats.
Okay.
Do you have any idea what the most popular episode for people to listen to was?
Well, I would want to say Pride and Prejudice, but
it's by far... Far From the Madding Crowd, episode 1.
Really?
By
interesting.
Double. That episode has double the listens from the next one in line, which was Island of the Blue Dolphins, part 1.
Really?
Wow. I think that's crazy. And then our third one was our overall top 10 classic books. So, okay. I don't think Pride and Prejudice has been out there long enough for it to like.
Yeah. Grow. And that's what I've noticed. Like, So we have kind of evolved over the past year and like we were releasing a lot on you, like every week I would release on YouTube. And then just in the past couple of months, I was like, okay, these are getting like one watch. And it was hours and hours of editing. And so I'm like, all right, I might take a step back from that for a little while. And I need to figure out probably how to do like some YouTube shorts. Maybe that's going to be my next step for this year. So you do some YouTube shorts, do some reels, things like that. But as I've gone back and looked, I'm like, oh, some of these are actually like getting a lot of views, but it's just, you know, it just takes time. So.
Well, I listened to a news podcast that's very popular and they just started releasing on YouTube and they also will have like 3 views. So I don't know if like YouTube just isn't the place that people go for that kind of stuff. I don't know. Or maybe it's harder to find. I was just surprised.
It probably is. I mean,
somehow. Yeah. And that's the other thing I want to do this year is try to figure out how to do like little TikToks with like little sections of our episodes with the video. I guess you'd have to do the video.
Yes. Or... Yes. But
I'm not real tech savvy. So
that's the thing that I have a hard time with is I can go through and edit an entire video, but as far as like taking out little bits,
I know,
adding music and all that. I don't know. I can do it. I can do it. Just gotta figure it out.
We'll figure it out.
It's all possible.
Yes, I was watching so I watched this guy that talks. It's a psychologist that talks about pop culture stuff, and he was saying on his videos, like, I need to do this. If anybody out there can help me, please contact me. Like, I think he wanted to do like TikToks and stuff. So yeah, like, I just need to find somebody that knows about social media and can help me because I just like it. It scares me.
Yeah, it just seems like a lot. So Where the Red Fern Grows does have up to 50 views.
That's pretty good.
It's pretty good. But then there's some that have been out for several months that have like 5.
That was hours and hours of work.
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
Every time David, he would turn them on and I'd be like, stop, turn that off. I don't want to watch that. I can listen to us. I can listen to me, but I cannot watch me. So I'd get so mad at him. So let's go through some of our, I don't know, what we thought of the books. So I want to know what your favorite book we did this year was.
That is really hard. I don't know if I could name just one. I've absolutely loved, well, okay. As far as discussion goes, I would say Pride and Prejudice. I loved that discussion. I looked forward to it so much every single time. And then as far as just the book, I don't know. I found Far From the Madding Crowd just so delightful, so good. And then I think I'm going to choose a children's book as well because here's the hard thing. I really enjoyed all of them, but I just really loved diving deep into Where the Red Fern Grows and getting like a deeper appreciation of that one.
I think that one was so fun to learn about the author.
Yeah, that was really interesting. That's something I didn't know anything about him. And so to learn his backstory and just how he's just sort of this rough writer that has turned out these fantastic books. It was very cool, very inspiring. And I'm going to feel like I'm sort of betraying all the other books because I really kind of loved all of them.
So once you study them like we did, I think you just have to come, for the most part, come to love them and like appreciate them so much more.
How about you?
I mean, I would say the same ones, but Pride and Prejudice. This is what I'd say. Pride and Prejudice and Far From the Madding Crowd. Like, yeah, they're probably my favorites. And I really liked Frankenstein. Mm-hmm. I really liked that book. And so that'll come up again, I guess, in another question. But I'm looking at our list here. I felt the most accomplished when we finished A Tale of Two Cities. Mm-hmm. But yeah. I was like, that was hard. And it was long. It was hard. I understood it. It felt so amazing. So, and my favorite kids book that we did, I don't know. I liked them all. Probably Secret Garden for me.
Yeah, that one is so beautiful.
Yeah, I think so.
It really is.
Next question. This is a hard one. Which one was your least favorite?
So I would say, like, I need to qualify and say that none of them are my, like, I don't dislike any of them. None of them would I say, oh, I wish we hadn't done that. That wouldn't be the case at all. It's just sort of the ones that maybe the characters leave you going, meh. And that would probably be The Great Gatsby. Like, I love the book. I think it's amazing. I think we learned so much from it. We had great discussions about it. And like, it's incredibly written. And so it's like nothing negative about the book, really. It's just the characters. You're just like, yuck. Like, get it together, you know, which is exactly the way that the author wrote them, and I think he probably wanted you to have that reaction. Yeah, that would probably be my least favorite. That way,
yeah, same for me.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, I liked it, and I was again felt like accomplished because I didn't know the story of the Great Gatsby. And so when we were done, I'm like, okay, now I know. Yeah. But yeah, it was just not my favorite. Like you said, it was just the people were just kind of like, ugh.
Yeah, you're just kind of disgusted by all of them.
Is that what money does to you? I don't know.
Yeah, I think so. And again, I think that's probably what the author was going for, is to kind of create these fairly disgusting people. But which book were you most surprised at?
100% Frankenstein.
We're so like-minded here, but yes, I didn't really know what to expect. I was just like, oh, it's about a monster. Like, I had never really given it much thought at all before, honestly, but it was an incredible book.
It was interesting. I wanted to keep reading. It was, the language was like so beautiful. I'd never heard of anything about Frankenstein before. And so I was just shocked.
Except what we get in, you know, the pop culture media stuff, which is so off. Like, that is not Frankenstein.
Yeah.
At all. They need another name for it. It's like, it's more like the Hulk shriveled up.
And you didn't even know. I mean, most people probably don't even know that, like, Frankenstein isn't even the monster's name.
Exactly. Exactly. And like this whole thing with, like, you know, he's always got like these weird scars everywhere, and then he'll have like screws bolting his jaws together, or whatever. And it's like, and he's green. Well, he's not, I guess he's not always green, but sort of has like this square head, and he is often green. Like, where did that even come from?
Yeah, I know. So yeah, that was totally my most surprising. I think A Tale of Two Cities surprised me because it was so dark and disturbing.
Very heavy.
Okay, I'm going to have a hard time with this one. Who is your favorite character that we read about?
Ooh. Well, Gabriel Oak is always one of my favorites, and so is Bathsheba Everdeen from Far From the Madding Crowd. Of course, Elizabeth Bennett, which I got so much more appreciation for her as we talked in depth about Pride and Prejudice. Yeah, that's what's coming to mind right now.
I mean, I think each of the books has like an amazing character that I loved, right? I really loved Yanis in The Wheel on the School.
Yeah, totally.
Like, his evolution was just incredible. And like, I mean, I guess maybe I loved the people that included him. I don't know. I loved him. And then like Karana, was that her name?
In Island of the Blue Dolphins. She was such a strong character. Yeah.
Yeah. And I found in books, I like women who are strong in like more modern literature, I guess. So I guess like Elizabeth, I don't see Bathsheba as, I don't know, would you consider her like strong?
Yes. I think the thing that we love about these characters is watching them evolve and be open to change and willing to adapt and better themselves, you know, and they all do. And I think Bathsheba's evolution is maybe a little bit more frustrating at times, but she gets there.
Another interesting thought is like from A Tale of Two Cities, like the characters weren't as developed. Like nothing pops out to me as a character from that book, really.
Yeah, that of somebody who like really evolves.
I'd have to think. I bet you if you thought about it, but I guess this character, it's been a long time since we read that one, but like the characters are kind of in the background.
Isn't that something that he talks about, is like it is more story driven really than character driven? And that is true.
Yeah, that's interesting that story doesn't have the, you know, where you've got Far From the Madding Crowd has the two main characters. Really, Pride and Prejudice has two main characters with a lot of characters that are well developed, but not the main ones.
And
but
you
like,
can come to love or despise a lot of them. But in Tale of Two Cities, definitely have a character that you hate, the knitting lady. Horrifying.
Sitting there knitting, watching you.
There's like no names coming to me except for Charles Darnay.
But I guess he's the only character, that I can like think of. In Pride and Prejudice, I love Mr. Bennett. I thought he's hilarious. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. There were lots of good characters. Yeah, you just mentioned kind of one of the least favorite characters. Are there any others that you can think of?
Least favorite? So Sergeant Troy is pretty despicable. Don't like him at all.
As soon as you say that, like, I picture the movie and his like smoldering face that he does, and like his
he's
eyes.
Like so smackable. Like, yes. Oh,
I'm watching When Calls the Heart, And a character just in the first season, the character just came and he's after the woman's money. So that's why he's there. And he's fooling her anyways, but he has this must, he's like a character that plays or an actor that plays in a lot of Hallmark movies, but he wears a mustache in this movie and this TV series. And it's like, it's just hilarious. He reminded me of Sergeant Troy, like his mustache and it's like his eyes, the way he.
Yeah. Creeper.
And every time we have a bad character, we're like, ugh, Sergeant Troy. Ugh. Like, yeah. Who is it in Pride and Prejudice? It's like Sergeant Troy. Is this the.
Wickham a little yes. bit. Like, yeah, absolutely. Just very aware of his own charms and how he can use that to his best advantage.
Yes.
For
we
sure.
knew. I knew a boy like that in like high school.
Really?
Yeah. So it's like, yeah, you know, you're good looking and you're totally using that to your advantage.
Yeah. And a lot of them do. Well, girls totally do it too.
I just remember the boy because he got me.
Oh.
You're not got me, but you know what I mean?
Ew.
Like,
yeah.
At first you're like, oh, and then you're like, oh.
And suddenly they become not attractive at all.
Right. Yes.
I just thought of somebody else. Who should I just think of? Oh, thought of a character that I love. Susan Sowerby and Dickon from Secret Garden. They're such wonderful characters and just magical and beautiful and sweet. Susan Sowerby is like this lovely mother figure with a whole bunch of children who's like willing to have anyone else join her family and treat them as one of her children anyway. But I was kind of thinking like, overall, did we have tons of villains, you know, like just obvious villains in all the books? I'm thinking, especially like the children's books, there's not
really
like
a villain.
These obvious villains.
Which one in The Wind in the Willows is like the toad?
Yeah, Toad is, I mean, and I still wouldn't consider him a villain. He's just like
an idiot,
the one that drives you crazy, and he's such an idiot. Yeah, he does.
Yeah, so we have Sergeant Troy, I'd say like Toad, and then the knitting
lady.
Madame Defarge.
Yes, good job. It was not coming to me. That was so funny.
I mean, Gatsby is kind of
the hard thing is any of them could be considered the villain in Gatsby.
I mean, we've got the wolves in Island of Freedom.
Yeah, the wild dogs, and also the sailors, you know, that come
and
wreak
Wickham
havoc. But
in Pride and Prejudice, you got Wickham and you've got his aunt.
That's true.
Well,
Lady
not
Catherine.
His aunt. Yeah. She was pretty awful. There was a lot of people in Pride and Prejudice that were ugh.
Unsavory. That's true.
And not really in the Wheel on the School.
No.
Villain in that.
No.
And Frankenstein. I don't know about that one. Like,
it's hard to really pinpoint. It's like, I think that there's like just this huge moral dilemma. Well, who did do wrong here?
It's all of them.
It's all of them.
The last one, I think, in this section would be like, which author do we want to read more of from what we did this year? 100% we discussed we're going to do a Jane Austen once a year.
Yeah, for sure. Which will take us over the next like 6 or 7 years. So that's great. So yes, definitely Jane Austen is a repeat author. I mean, I would read probably any of them again.
I mean, I think we'll eventually do another Dickens.
Yeah. As far as just being like, oh my gosh, this author is so good, I would sit down and read another one right now. Well, I'm super curious about more of Mindert de Jong's books because he's apparently quite prolific with children's books, but I'm not aware of any of them. So it could be that a lot of them are out of print, but I would be super curious to just find some more and read them because he's so engaging, such a fun author. So yeah, I would really love to read some more by him.
When David listened to that episode, he said, I've heard this story. He's like, I don't know if they read it to us in school. I'm like, I don't know. I had never heard it before. So
that is interesting.
I would like to do another Thomas Hardy someday.
Yes.
And then another one, I really want to do A Little Princess, which is Frances Hodgson Burnett, right?
Right.
Someday. Like, is next year too soon to repeat them? Should we give it more time?
Maybe
know.
Give it a couple years just because there are so many other authors.
Yes.
But these are all.
And then we talked about a little bit this morning before we got on, like which authors we'd like to do that we haven't done. We're going to do C.S. Lewis in December, but we would like to do more of him.
We're going to be doing some Tolkien.
Yes.
And
I want to do Harper Lee.
Yeah. To Kill a Mockingbird. Her. And then we also, we need to do some Eleanor Estes. Because I love her. So Eleanor Estes is the Moffats and Pinkie Pie and Ginger Pie and the 100 Dresses. And
so let's talk about how we study for the podcast.
Okay.
I want to hear your method.
Okay. So like when we first started, what I, and with any of the classics that are a little bit longer, maybe tougher language and stuff, I start by listening to the book. So I did that with a lot of them. Not the children's books, because all of those they're not difficult. And I've read all of them like several times anyway, but like Tale of Two Cities, Far From the Madding Crowd, Great Gatsby, I listened to them first. And then I went back through and read them. And as I'm reading, I have to be engaged with my hands in some way as I'm reading. So I'm always underlining anything that's like carrying the story along, writing notes in the margins. And then I go through and like write out a summary. And so I go back through and read everything that I've underlined and write a summary and write down quotes that I think are interesting. And that's it.
It's been changing for me all year. So in the beginning, I can't just listen to a classic. I won't get anything out of it. So at the beginning, I was listening and reading at the same time. And then I would go back through and read slower and like write notes. And sometimes some of the books, like A Tale of Two Cities, I wrote notes in the margins. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I'll like put post-it notes on the page,
yeah,
and write my notes on that. But what helps me, I think, for our episodes is, I don't know, I guess I type something up. That's like the easiest thing for me to follow when we're talking about it. Because when I have it in the book, I'm just like trying to read my notes in the margins. And I'm like, huh, what does this say? I don't know. And then when I sit down to type up my summary, I can make it flow better and like.
Totally.
And a lot of times I have to listen to, there's a YouTube channel called Course Hero that does like short 1-2 minute, sometimes 2 minutes, usually 2 minutes, sometimes one, sometimes three, like summaries of the book. Okay. And each book is a different person talking about it. So like, it'll be the same person through the whole book. Sometimes I'll listen to that just to make sure that I caught what happened. Yeah. And sometimes I'll read summaries or what's the word?
Not like summaries. Cliff notes.
I have used Cliff Notes. I used that on Frankenstein. I just found that at St. Vincent's and I was like, oh, I'm going to buy this. And it was very helpful. Analysis. So sometimes I'll read analysis or listen to people, look up YouTube videos about the author or whatever. I'm always busy. So I'm always doing stuff. I need to be able to have stuff on in the background.
Yeah. That's like helping you. Yeah. Yeah, for sure. Who wants to do busy work and not be listening to something?
I know. Can you imagine? And we've talked about this before. Back in the day when these books were written and these people were like, how did you entertain yourself?
Seriously. Maybe they just sang to themselves a lot.
The funny thing is, okay, so we had a TV in Presley's room and we had to move her because Katie moved back home. And so David was like, this TV's not good enough for her. So he bought her a new one. And so I took that one and put it in the kitchen. And the kids think it's like the trashiest thing in the world. But I'm like, I can watch something while I'm cleaning or cooking or.
Oh, totally. Yeah. I'm like,
don't judge me.
Yeah. Sorry. Brain needs to be engaged.
Right. And so, and it's funny because I have different things. You know, when I'm out in my office, I have certain things I listen to in certain areas of them. It's just kind of funny.
I love it. I think that's amazing. And I was just thinking, you know, I mean, sometimes I get after myself because I'm like, I need to be okay with quiet because that's what allows me to like start thinking deeply and things like that. So I try to do that as well. Just have some times of quiet when I'm working, whatever. But most of the time I've got to have something that I'm listening to like, first of all, sort of forget about the millions of dishes and stuff. And I just don't have energy to do it unless a book will motivate me.
Yeah. Podcast, it gives you life.
It does. Totally.
Yeah. So like out in my office, I listen to church stuff. In the kitchen, I watch Gilmore Girls.
Nice. I love Gilmore Girls.
So it's just kind of funny. And then like when I'm working is when I listen to books. When I'm driving, I listen to podcasts. So I just have like, because I don't want to have to decide what I'm going to listen to. So it's just like, when I'm out here, this is what I do. Yeah, exactly. So the next question is, how many hours a week do you think you dedicate to the podcast?
Oh, good question. I don't know.
Well, let's say this. Okay, probably, so Amity does all our posts. Mm-hmm. Like, I do the editing, and then we both read.
Yeah.
And prepare.
And then, well, and then with recording,
oh yeah,
I don't know, probably 6 or 7. I could totally.
I think I'm more like 10.
Okay.
I mean, it depends on the book we're working on, because some of them are a lot easier than others. And it depends on how well we did on our recording, how long it takes to edit.
Yeah. Yeah, totally.
But like, I wouldn't want to do your job, because I think you do such a great job coming up with the posts, and I would be like, that would be hard for me. So I'm glad you do that. Take that part off. Like,
well, thank you. I enjoy it. It always surprises me how long it takes, because I'm like, oh, I know exactly what I'm going to do. But then just like making sure it all comes together the way that I like it. And there's some days that I'm like, all right, I guess I'm just going to get it out there. I'm not super happy with it. Like, oh, well, anyway.
That's how I'm with editing. Sometimes on Thursday nights, it's really late, and I'm like, I'll be falling asleep while I'm editing. And I'm like, I don't know what I missed there, but oh well. Yeah, I think it's like 10 hours for me, probably. The editing takes me a long time.
Yeah, that's got to be the big time meter for sure.
I think I'm getting better and it's getting faster, but okay. My next question is, how is doing the podcast different than you thought it would be, like in the beginning?
So in some ways, it's more work than I thought it would be. In other ways, it's less intense. I think that I'd hesitated for a long time, because before we did this one, we had talked about doing another one, like with a different concept. And I was like, oh, that's so cool. And then as I started to like dig in and try to prepare for it, I'm like, oh my gosh, this is so overwhelming. How would we ever do this? Now that we've been doing this for a year, I'm like, actually, that concept, I think we actually could do that. And it wouldn't be as overwhelming as I thought. Anyway.
Yeah, this one might be worse than that one would have been. I don't know.
It might be.
It just felt, but at the time, it just felt so overwhelming. I think so.
Because, I mean, you always have a lot of things going on. So do I. But I think that's when I was pregnant and just about to have my 6th baby. I think that's what it was. And it's just crazy. Like, your brain does crazy stuff when you're pregnant and have a new baby. You're like,
I think when you just don't think clearly. Like,
oh, no.
When I was pregnant with Presley, in my mind, I was going to keep working.
I know.
Like I had been. Like when the baby came. I mean, we even bought a car.
So you,
like,
just keep going.
Yeah, but like, that was not in the cards.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. It's just funny. And so then she comes and I'm like, oh. So then we had to buy another car. Because I'm like, we had to hire somebody. And then I'm like, well, I'm not letting the person take my van, because then how am I going to go anywhere? So yeah. Anyways, I was just like, I don't know what I was thinking. And I remember when I was pregnant with Charlie thinking the same thing, that nothing was going to change.
Yeah. Everybody's like telling you that, oh, it's all you, like, your life will never be the same. And you're like, whatever. Yeah. Like, I'm tough. I can just keep going. You do just keep going, but it's in a very different way.
My mom said when she was, I'm the oldest, and she's like, I thought I would go back to work. And she's like, I had you. And I was like, nope, I'm not going back to work. And so I think you just have no idea how much you're going to, once that baby is here, your thoughts change and you're like, I'm never leaving this child ever.
I know. I'm not going to let somebody else take care of my baby.
I remember thinking before I had Charlie that I was going to make sure that he was okay with people like babysitting him. Mm-hmm. And then that did not happen. And I didn't want other people babysitting him. So, okay. Do you have any more questions? Oh, I do have a question. One more question. What does your family think of you doing a podcast?
I'm going to answer in a couple of different ways. So my immediate family, my husband and children, they're very supportive and they're very sweet. And they're just like, oh, it's mom's recording time. So, you know, I mean, every once in a while they'll come in because they've got a question or something. But, and my husband is very supportive. I wouldn't say he's listened to every single episode, but he's listened to most. And he, even if he doesn't always listen to the episodes, he tries to always read the books that we're doing. So he just listened to Frankenstein. And he's like, oh my gosh. And the thing is, he's a pretty well-read person. So a lot of these he had read, but he'll like read them again and so that we can talk about them. And a lot of times, like, I bring to the podcast some of the things that we've talked about. He listens to most of our podcasts and so gives them good feedback and is always very supportive and positive. A couple of my kids will listen, especially when we had it on YouTube. I just think they haven't quite figured out like the Apple podcasts and Spotify and things like that. So I just need to show them how to do that. Yeah. Especially my girls, they'll listen, and Matt will too, because it's one of those things also. They're like, well, I'm cleaning, can I just listen to your podcast? I'm not going to say no. So that's really sweet. So they're great. My extended family, so they totally know. I don't know that all of them know about it. None of them has, to my knowledge, none of them have ever listened to a single episode.
So, I mean, none of my children will listen to it at all. Charlie says he will if we do a book he's interested in. So we'll see. My husband listens to every episode, but he doesn't read the books. Although he did want to, he tried to listen to Frankenstein, but he was like working and he said he couldn't pay attention.
Yeah, I feel like it's when you have to be pretty engaged to really get it. Yeah.
Yes. My mom and my mother-in-law are super supportive.
They are amazing. They're amazing.
Like, we went to my mother-in-law's house yesterday and she was listening to Frankenstein and she reads all the books with us. She comments on all the episodes.
Yeah.
I don't know if my mom would know how to comment, but she does listen.
I love that Kathy has figured it out though. Like,
she's pretty good. I'm like, when she first commented, I was like, I go, you can comment on an episode on Spotify?
Like, I have no idea. That's why I'm like, I have no idea how to even comment on an episode.
Me neither.
So,
and then
I love it.
My sisters, I don't think they listen to every episode, but they listen sometimes.
Yeah,
and
so cool. Well, and they follow us on Instagram and stuff. I do have like one of my brothers follows our Instagram page.
Oh.
So every once in a while I'll see that he'll like something or whatever. But
I mean, David is totally supportive. My kids don't say anything. They're not interested. So they don't even say anything about it. But David's 100% supportive and he tries to be really helpful. Like when he comes home and I'll say on Fridays, I'll be like, did you listen to our episode? Yeah. I made him wait to listen to Pride and Prejudice. So he was super behind and he just listened to him 6 episodes.
Oh my gosh. Bless his heart.
I know. That's a lot. Yeah. They're super supportive. You know, one thing about podcasts is I don't think kids are like into them.
As much into them. Yeah.
I think it's like an adult thing. And so, like you said, your kids probably don't even know how to turn one on. I mean, I know my kids do. Charlie listens to podcasts, but the rest of them don't.
I mean, at this point, Charlie is
an adult.
An adult. Yeah.
He's gonna be 23.
That's so crazy. That is crazy. Like, what?
We have like a full grown man.
Yeah.
Living in our house. Like, how did we get here? It's crazy. Okay. Do you have any other questions? I'm out.
Man, I think, I had all these written down and I think that we went through all of them.
It was fun reminiscing about the books that we read. I can't believe it. 13 books. That's crazy.
I know. It is crazy. Like, that's more than I thought that we'd done. But yeah, we've done a lot.
Not to mention all the books we talked about
tons. And the thing is too, like, we've done some hefty books. I mean, Pride and Prejudice is big. Far from the Madding Crowd is big. Tale of Two Cities is pretty big.
Yeah, those are our 3 big ones, right?
The Wheel and the School, it's a lot of pages. It's sort of like bigger type or something, but it's still a pretty big book. And Secret Garden, that one really is pretty big too.
The hardest kids book we did for me was The Wind in the Willows. The language was hard.
I would agree. Yeah. Yeah. In fact, I think that's why I had opened it up to read to my kids a few times. And then I was like, I think this is too much for right now.
Did you end up reading it to them?
I don't think I have read it to them yet.
I mean, once we got into it, it was okay. But like, yeah, it was hard. I thought that was the hardest kids book we did.
Yeah. How we want to evolve over the next year.
Yes. So this year we've been talking about possibly doing an extra episode, maybe on Mondays, where individually, so like one at a time, one of us will interview somebody that or have a conversation with somebody that is also a reader. I hesitate to like say we're gonna do it, but I guess what I'm gonna say is like, let's not promise every Monday.
Just we'll have surprise Mondays. surprise Mondays.
Yes, hopefully every Monday, but we'll just see like how it goes. But yeah, we're just interested in like other people that read and what they like to read and getting recommendations from them. And we thought it would be fun to include other people in our podcast. And
it's always fun to talk to another reader and get their perspective. And because it's always surprising to me, like when somebody's like, I'm not a reader. I'm like, how do you live? How do you live? So it also makes me wonder if like everybody realized how many readers there are out there and how wonderful reading is, maybe they would try.
I love podcasts. Like that's what got me into book podcast was mm-hmm. listening to people talk about reading. That's how I got into podcasts. And I was just like, that would be so fun to mm-hmm. talk about, you know, we're talking about classic books once a week, but we can also talk about other good books and what people yeah. are reading. So if you're interested in coming on our podcast and talking about reading, email us.
Totally. Or
contact one of us and we'll schedule an interview. And I don't want to say interview, a conversation. We'll schedule.
Yeah, it's just a conversation. We'll have questions, but yeah. It is more of just a conversation.
Yeah. So hopefully you'll see that come up soon. That's our plan. And then really quick for the end of this year, we still have All the Kind Family coming up and then Mere Christianity. And that will end 2023.
But I am really excited about that one because I've read lots of his other books, but I have not read that one yet. So I'm excited to dive in.
Yeah, I've read about 75% of it and I don't know why I never finished it, but
okay.
I'm excited to read it too. Yeah. And it's kind of short. There'd be a lot to talk about. So
yes. Yeah. And that's the thing that because I got his entire collection a couple years ago. And that's what surprised me is how short most of the books are. Like they're pretty little books.
You should go watch, if anybody is interested in C.S. Lewis before you read Mere Christianity, there was a movie that came out like a year ago, maybe a little more than that. The Most Reluctant Convert. And it was, I loved it. We went to the movie theater and saw it. And it was, you know, only playing for a couple of days, but it just shows his journey from being an atheist to them becoming a Christian. And it was fascinating. I loved it. And it's interesting because the actor talks to the camera like C.S. Lewis is talking to you.
Okay. So it's kind of like
he breaks the
documentary feel.
Third wall or whatever. Uh-huh. Not, wait, fourth wall. Breaks the fourth wall.
Oh, yeah. Okay. That's cool.
It was very interesting. I'll have to check that out. You could also read a book about him and his wife.
Becoming Mrs. Lewis.
Yes.
That's a really, really sweet book.
Just beautiful. If you want to understand his life and like Becoming Mrs. Lewis by Patty Callahan.
Patty yes. Callahan.
This is what I figured out. She has two different genres. In one of her genres, she goes by Patty Callahan. And the other one, she goes by Patty Callahan Henry.
Oh, so, interesting. Okay.
I believe her historical fiction is just Patty Callahan.
Okay.
Married name is Henry. So
that is interesting. Yeah,
because we're all confused. Like, how come some of her books are just Patty Callahan and some are Henry? I don't know. I think those two books, that movie and that book would help understand his life. And if you're interested, that would be fun.
How would we find The Most Reluctant Convert?
That's a good question. I mean, I would search it on the Roku player and just, you can probably, if you have Amazon Prime, you can watch it. It says you can rent it on YouTube for $4.99. Google Play Movies and TV for $3.99. So usually when I'm looking for a movie, I'll just search like on the Roku. Do you have a Roku player?
No.
On the Roku
player. I know lots of people do.
I'll just search like, and it'll come up with all the places you could watch it. And it'll say like if it's free or how much it costs. It's kind of a newer movie. So I'm pretty sure you couldn't get it at the library.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. It's probably not on Hoopla or anything. You can watch it on Prime Video for free with a PureFlix trial. But then you can also like buy the DVD for $14.75. Oh, and you can rent it on Prime Video for $3.99. So if you've got Amazon Prime, you could rent it for $3.99.
To close out this episode, what are you reading?
So I'm going to share. So I'll be completely transparent. This week, I started a couple books, but I'm not deep into them enough to talk about them because I've kind of been trying to like listen a lot about the Israel-Palestine stuff. So, which is like awful, but I'm trying to like learn about it to know what the heck is going on, which it's horrifying. And what's even more horrifying is like a lot of people's response to it in the United States. I'm like, of course, on the university campuses, especially. So I'll talk about the book that I'm reading with my kids right now. I believe it's a movie. So in our geography course, we're learning about Africa. And so we're reading a book to go along with that. And it's called The Boy Who Harnessed the Wind. And wasn't that turned into a movie?
Hey, I think I just saw not the movie, but I saw the title recently.
Okay. So it's written by William Kamkwamba and Brian Mueller. I think that he's sort of the main author who helps William turn this into a, you know, a really good story. But it's the true story of William Kamkwamba and how he brings electricity to his tiny little village in Africa. We're not super far into it yet, but I'm really excited. It's really well written, very engaging, like from the get-go. And he talks all about all their superstitions and how they believe in magic and everything. And then he has to sort of like cast that aside a little bit to be like, hey, well, also all these things that these people are saying, that's not going to cure disease and that's not going to help our village. We need electricity, you know. So he was born in 1987. So
He's younger than me.
probably, yeah. Yeah.
And you.
Yeah.
I would have guessed. Yeah. I don't
Yeah.
know what year you were born.
Yeah, he's a few years younger than me. So
I know. I feel like you're so much younger than me, but I don't know. You just look better.
not that much. Oh.
I
Yeah, especially right now.
know. I was like,
Yeah,
dry
like
shampoo this
just gonna
morning.
avoid looking at myself.
So I'm taking a parenting class through BYU Idaho, and we are reading a book called The Anatomy of Peace by the Arbinger Institute. Have you ever heard of it?
Yes, I have. I've never read it, but I have heard of it.
It's very interesting. I was talking to my niece about it recently because she has read it also. And she's like, I'm like, I don't know how to explain it because I have like a love-hate relationship with it. Like, it's so dumb, but the concepts in it are so good. And she's like, yeah, the way it's written is so dumb,
Really?
but the concepts are kind of amazing.
Okay.
So basically, this couple is bringing their son to like one of those wilderness camps to like get fixed.
Okay.
And they think they're just dropping him off and that's it. Well, they're like, no, you're part of this. And so they have all the parents that are dropping their kids off are in this class and they're learning concepts like, is it your fault? Kind of thing. Like, that's not the right words, but like, what am I doing? How am I
What
contributing
are
to
your
this?
responsibilities here? Yeah.
Yes. I feel like it's been life changing. Like, even though it's dumb, the concepts are like, either is your heart at war or is your heart at peace? And basically, it doesn't matter what you do on the outside. You could be 100% like kind and wonderful, but your heart is still at war with that person. And like, what are your motivations for why you're doing that? Right? Like, there's these four different things that you could be the reason. Like, you need to feel better than that person. You feel worse than that person. You think you deserve something. Or the other one is you need to be seen as something. So, which is interesting. Like, you could be treating your child well on the outside because you need to be seen as a good mom. But in your own heart, you're like angry with them. So, it's just so interesting. So, then, well, I'm almost done with it. It goes into like how they talk about getting into a box where once you take something that you think you should do. Say your kid does something and you know in your mind you should like be kind, but then you like explode. Basically, at that moment, you've betrayed yourself
Okay.
because you're doing the thing that you know you shouldn't do. And then that's when you get put in a box and you have to immediately start justifying why you're acting like that. So you vilify them, you talk to other people and like try to gather allies. It's just fascinating.
Very like indicting.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
And like
Okay, I need to read this book.
every week I have to write a paper about somebody that I'm having trouble with, and it's been no problem.
I have a hard time coming up with people?
No, I have plenty of material.
That's so funny.
Anyways, so yeah, I'm at the point now where now we're learning how to get out of that box. So it's very good. I
That's really
feel
cool.
like I should give this book to everybody for Christmas. Like, everybody.
That's a good idea.
Very good. We're going to read a book called Unconditional Parenting. So maybe when I read that book too, I'll be like, oh, maybe this is the book to give to everybody. But so interesting. Like how it's presented is dumb.
Okay.
But like, well, I guess the concepts are amazing.
Yeah. So they're maybe not the best storytellers. They're just really good at.
Yeah. I don't know if you remember me talking about the 5 a.m. club.
Yes.
It was written in the same format and I didn't like it either.
Yeah, I remember that. Okay.
So it's like, here's a really, I prefer that kind of book to be like, not a storyline. Tell me, just tell me.
Yeah. And like give real examples and that's fine, but it doesn't need to be in story form.
Yeah, because it's kind of cheesy.
Yeah.
Oh, 100% worth it, especially if you have problems with your kids.
Okay. I am going to find it. That sounds really good.
It's been very interesting. I would recommend it. Oh, and you can listen to it on Hoopla.
Oh, good. Okay. Okay, perfect. I'll go find that.
We're so happy you joined us for this episode. We hope you will join us next week as we discuss All of a Kind Family by Sydney Taylor, chapters 1-7. If you have suggestions for books we should read and discuss, please email us at thebestbookspodcast@gmail.com. We would love it if you would leave a review wherever you listen to podcasts and share our podcast with your friends. We want to inspire and encourage as many people as we can to read out of the best books.
As Thoreau says, read the best books first, or you may not have a chance to read them at all. See you next week.